He gave her career advice and summer work suggestions while she was an undergrad, and then reached out to her again when she was at Harvard Law. She had a grand time as a summer associate in 1987, accepted a full-time job upon graduation, and never looked back. In the Chicago patronage culture that made Michelle Obama, the color that matters most is neither black nor white, it is green, the color of money. Mrs. Obama was literally born into the Chicago political corruptocracy. Her father, Frazier Robinson, was a volunteer precinct captain for the Democrat Party. Washington Post writer Liza Mundy called him an essential member of the powerful political machine run by Richard J. Daley, who, in addition to being mayor, was the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Central Committee, meaning he controlled both the government and the political party and could use one to do the other's bidding. Former alderman Leon Dupre bluntly told Mundy that it was overwhelmingly likely that Robinson's job at the city water department was a reward for his loyalty. The water department where Frazier Robinson worked was a renowned repository of patronage jobs. Why such little scrutiny of Michelle the Merciless, or that other Michelle as she's known in my house, and her crony-aided rise to power? Like her husband, Mrs. Obama is quick to play the victim card when her ill-considered statements and her dealings come under scrutiny. I don't call her President Obama's bitter half for nothing. Remember when the Tennessee Republican Party ran a hard-hitting ad in spring 2008, skewering Mrs. Obama's patriotism-impaired remark at a Wisconsin campaign rally? "For the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country." The Obamas took to ABC's Good Morning America to bemoan the low-class and detestable criticisms. Obama insisted indignantly that these folks should lay off my wife. Mrs. Obama laughed softly at his side. Perhaps the self-proclaimed Southside girl chuckled because she knew how transparently ridiculous her hubby's spousal defense really was. Mrs. Obama, he argued to Glamour magazine, was an innocent bystander, untrained in the rough-and-tumble ways of political life. Senator Obama, "It's infuriating, but it's not surprising because, let's face it, what happened was that the conservative press, Fox News and the National Review and columnists of every ilk, went fairly deliberately at her in a pretty systematic way and treated her as the candidate in a way that you just rarely see the Democrats try to do against the Republicans. And I've said this before, I would never have my campaign engage in a concerted effort to make Cindy McCain an issue, and I would not expect the Democratic National Committee or people who are allied with me to do it. Because essentially spouses are civilians, they didn't sign up for this." Mrs. Obama most certainly signed up for heightened public scrutiny of her public words and deeds. She signed up for it the minute she voluntarily stepped on the campaign trail to sell her husband as America's soul fixer. She signed up for it when she made herself a public spokeswoman for working mothers and chief public surrogate for her husband's legislative agenda. She signed up for it when she consciously and continuously milked liberal bitterness on the campaign trail to drum up votes for her husband. If she couldn't stand what little heat she was exposed to during the presidential election season, she should have refrained from grabbing the closest microphone to complain repeatedly about America's health care, lack of compassion, and the evil lure of corporate America.
This is the end of the CD. The audiobook continues on the next CD.